Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Welcome on back to Dana and Parks. I want to give you the phone number in case you want to text in and weigh in on the next subject, 913-586-7798, with a warning: we will be talking about domestic violence. And if that is something that is a trigger for you or you don't want to listen to, we want to give you the heads up that we will be talking in depth about it this hour. I want to start with an op-ed that appeared in the Associated Press and then was picked up by the Kansas City Star this week. It says, 30 years ago, as women's rights advocates worked to pass the 1994 Violence Against Women Act, domestic violence was still something of a hushed topic. And then Nicole Brown Simpson's death forced it right into the spotlight. Americans who were riveted by the murder investigation of the superstar ex-husband, who is now dead, heard startling and painful details of the abuse that she suffered at his hands. Quoting here from the executive director of the LA-based nonprofit Peace Over Violence, says the issue exploded overnight. We had 20 media trucks lined up on Hollywood Boulevard to talk to us because it was OJ. He's famous. He's an athlete. He's handsome. Everybody loved him. We started to have conversations about what goes on in the mind of the abuser, and we were able to maintain that conversation throughout the 2-year period of the case. I think she says it changed the movement. Given that victims then and now often hide their abuse, many people assumed it happened only to poor or marginalized women. But then they saw that neither Nicole Simpson's privilege nor her earlier calls to police had insulated her. She was beautiful. She was white. She was famous. She was wealthy. So there was a sense that if this could happen to her, it could happen to anyone. Quoting from American University professor Rachel Louise Snyder, who wrote in 2019 the book No Visible Bruises. And I wanted to bring in the chief executive officer of Hope House in Kansas City, Marianne Matheny, for our conversation. And I'm sure you saw that op-ed, Marianne, and you have worked helping survivors for decades in Kansas City. What's it been like for you to look back at that snapshot in time?
Well, she said it all in that. That truly is how it was. And I think we still see some of that today, but it is much better today than it was 30 years ago in terms of the response, in terms of people's understanding, and in terms of people wanting to have and being willing to have the conversation. We are light years from where we were 30 years ago.
You know, the one thing, and it's difficult to listen to, but we're going to play it because I think it's important for people to understand where we were and where we've come, is that when she calls 911, there were so many 911 calls to that house. And so many people in the neighborhood knew exactly what was going on. And you can hear the desperation in her voice and almost the resignation that because he is O.J. Simpson, it almost sounds like she doesn't believe she is going to be helped. Sam, do we have that to play?
911 emergency.
If you get someone over here now,
to 325 Gretna Green. He's back. Please.
Well, okay, what does he look like?
He's O.J. Simpson. I think you know his record. Could you just send somebody over here?
Okay, what is he doing there?
He just drove up again.
He just drove somebody over? Okay, wait a minute. What kind of car is he in?
He's in a white Bronco, but first of all, he broke the back door down to get in.
Okay, wait a minute. What's your name?
Nicole Simpson.
Okay, is he the sportscaster or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Wait a minute. We're sending the police. What is he doing? Is he threatening you? Has he threatened you in any way, or is he just harassing you?
You're going to hear him in a minute. He's about to come in again.
Okay, just stay on the line. Okay, Nicole?
Uh-huh.
We're going to stop there because there are some bad words in there, and I believe you can then hear him in the background. She had revealed, Marianne, after her death in an undated letter, that during her first pregnancy in 1988, he, quote, beat the holy hell out of me, although they told the hospital she had fallen off a bicycle. I want to remind everyone that it was in October of 1993, a year after they divorced, that 911 call was placed, 1 year after the divorce. 8 months later, she was dead.
I think a couple important things to note here. So when she was pregnant, pregnancy is often a point when the violence escalates. We see that pretty regularly because pregnancy changes the relationship. It changes the dynamics. So it can be a very threatening time where an abuser feels like they don't have that control or they don't have that status or the importance that they had before, because now this baby is going to be taking the place of, sure, of them. So that is very common for the violence to escalate during pregnancy. So not surprising to hear that. The other thing I think that is really important to remember and realize is that people feel like one of the myths around domestic violence is that if the person would just leave, the violence would end and then it would be over. We get asked that all the time. That is the most common question that we get asked is, why doesn't she leave? Well, the reality is she does, or he does, whoever the victim is, they leave all the time. But leaving doesn't mean the violence is going to end. Actually, it can increase at that time because, again, the dynamics have changed, that relationship have changed. And when you're talking about domestic violence, you're talking about power and control. And so when that power and control are taken away, thus the person has just left, then they escalate their behavior in order to regain that power and control. So we often see where the violence escalates and the person is in more danger at the time that they're leaving or shortly thereafter, and then even beyond, because they're doing what they can to get that control back. So it is important. I feel like it's really, really important for people to understand that it may seem like a very simple thing and that if you just did this, then it would end. But that is absolutely not the truth.
One of the things that I had forgotten until I read this op-ed, and this is just one more horrifying fact about this case, her two young children were inside that condo that night. I had forgotten about that. She was not, I knew she was not murdered at OJ's home. She was murdered in her condo in Brentwood. And I've read this before, Marianne, that statistically you are, as a woman trying to flee that environment, the most at danger when you are leaving. And I do think it's worth a reminder to everybody that it was 8 months after that 911 call that she was murdered along with Ron Goldman, who just happened to swing by to drop those glasses off.
Right, right. And I think that's one of the things that when we're talking with people and when we're really talking to someone like on the hotline, that we really safety plan with people around the time of leaving, because that is an extremely dangerous time. And you can see, like if you look at reports of someone being murdered, often you're going to see estranged, just left, separated. And that is because, again, the dynamics have changed and that time of leaving means that control is going away. So we're going to escalate the violence and escalate the methods that are being used in order to maintain that control.
Can you talk a little bit about the police response and you know, how that has changed and how their understanding of these situations has changed. When we know, Marianne, back in the 70s, if a woman called police for help, that we didn't even have 911 back then, they would just kind of shrug it off as a family matter if it was right. domestic violence, right? And then right. I think over the years, things got better. But you still look at when she was murdered, didn't we know better in 1993? And at least in that neighborhood, with all of the time she called, I think the response and the answer would have to be no.
Right. I think when you look at the time frame, so I do believe that she was instrumental in helping to change the narrative and helping the conversations to happen. The other thing that happened at that time was the Violence Against Women Act was passed by Congress. What that did was open up the conversation between law enforcement and domestic violence providers. So there were grant dollars that were associated with the Violence Against Women Act, but the grant dollars were contingent upon law enforcement and the domestic violence providers working together.
Got it.
And that has been instrumental. And I will tell you that in our area, in the Kansas City metro area, it has been a phenomenal resource for us. We have been able to, when just Hope House itself, we have been able to partner with our communities out in eastern Jackson County. And we have very, very good relationships with law enforcement. We do trainings. We have detectives and we have court advocates that go out and do things. They respond and talk to the victims and they work together. We are in the court system. So much has happened since the Violence Against Women Act passed. And has continued to pass because that has been the key has been that you have to have the coordinated relationships because domestic violence does not happen in a vacuum. It is not a family problem. It is a community problem. And if we don't address it as a community, we will never see it end. But I do think when you look over the last 30 years, so much has happened and so many positive things have happened. We still have a very, very long way to go, though.
So the Violence Against Women Act has funded more than $9 billion in grants to combat domestic violence with police training and social services. That first year, the hotline received 75,000 calls. Last year, it handled more than 400,000 calls, text messages, and chat messages. Does that say to you that we are moving in the right direction or the wrong direction?
No, actually, it's the right direction because we know that when we do trainings and we're talking with law enforcement, our calls go up. And that's a good thing because that means they know what they're looking for. They know that they need to respond and then they know who to talk to in order to get the help that they need. So that is actually a good thing. And I think the Violence Against Women Act has funded so many different programs. They don't just do the law enforcement aspect of it. The domestic violence, the National Domestic Violence Hotline is one piece of that as well. There's comprehensive programming that is happening across the country to help address domestic violence and help address all of the issues that go along with that. Because it is, again, it's not just this thing that happens by itself.
Yep.
There's so many other things that get impacted. And you have to address all of those or you won't be able, never will we solve this problem if we don't address all of the issues that impact a survivor.
Chief Executive Officer of Hope House, Marianne Matheny, thank you so much for your time today. I know it was on short notice. We do appreciate you spending some time with us this afternoon.
Oh, I appreciate you talking about this because that's the only way we're gonna really get to the bottom of it is if people are educated and understand and they know that there's help out there for them as
Amen.
Well.
913-586-7798. If you have questions or comments, you can text those in as well. We're back with more straight ahead. You're listening to Dana and Parks. So I want to ask for our insurance people to call in this hour after this headline from our friend Pete over at the Kansas City Star. I don't know how to pronounce his first name, Sam. Is it Uneski? I'm going to try. I know it's Betancourt because I remember that name.
Sure.
Former Royals player is accused of staging a car accident for insurance purposes. Uneski Betancourt, who had two stints with the Royals more than a decade ago, has been arrested in Florida and charged with staging a car wreck in an effort to defraud an insurance company. Jimmy Patronis, the chief financial officer of the state of Florida, announced charges against Betancourt and three others. All were arrested Friday and booked on charges of staged accident, insurance fraud, and organized scheme to defraud, and grand theft. First of all, can you look him up, please?
Yeah.
Unesky Betancourt, because this was 10 years ago. And I know people are going to say, why is he alleged to have tried to defraud an insurance company if he was a bajillionaire ball player? But I don't know. Maybe he wasn't. A news release says that Betancourt and the other three staged the wreck with the goal of reporting the accident to the automobile insurance company to exploit the personal injury and protection benefits, the PIP, associated with the auto policy for financial gain. They allegedly staged the wreck December. Now, follow me here. December 6th, 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Kemper Insurance was billed more than $61,000.
By the way, that was 8 years since his last professional baseball game, which was not even in the MLB.
8 years since last game. So He's broke, probably blew more money than he should have when he was here with us.
His last team that he played for was with the Brewers. He was with the Royals from 2009 to 2010.
Okay, he was part, but wait, Sam, he was part of the deal that brought in Lorenzo Cain and Escobar to Kansas City. So it was that year.
The 2012 trade, yeah.
Here's where I have a question for our insurance people. They allegedly staged this car wreck December 6th, 2022 for $61,000, okay? That is more than 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Do those types of investigations take that long? I mean, how do you uncover that someone has staged this wreck? That's my other question. And then they all four of them face up to 10 years in prison because of this. He did post bond.
Insurance companies do not like it when you try to defraud them.
Okay, but where are the insurance fraud investigators? That's who I want to hear from here. 913-586-7798. And why would it take almost two full years for a case like this to come to fruition? How do you know when someone is lying about a car wreck? You see the car is damaged. Normally, agent comes out, takes a look at it. What happened? Here's my story. Maybe you get somebody else's statement, and then like it pays out. I don't know. How often do these schemes unravel? Because I'm guessing it's not that easy to get away with it. But if it was that easy to get away with it, why would it take 2 years for the entire case to work its way through the system?
Something tells me that one of the people involved made the accidental post on social media or something, incriminating themselves in the crime. Because, according to Progressive anyway, it takes anywhere from a few weeks to a few months for a car insurance company to decide whether or not you are eligible for money, which tells me that they got the $61,000 payout sometime in 2023. And then what happened to make them look further into it?
You know, and then here's this. Staging accidents is incredibly dangerous, and fraud like this costs every American in the form of higher auto insurance premiums. We must continue to work together to do everything we can to uncover these injustices. He is being represented by a public defender and has been released on $4,500 in bond.
Broke.
Man, I would love to know what this scheme was about. Because there are three others involved. Were they all in one car? Or were they in two separate cars? 913-586-7798. We'll take your thoughts and your calls on that straight ahead. You are listening to Dana and Parks.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
So if you're wondering, how does this affect me? I'm going to tell you. American families pay an additional $400 to $700 per year in insurance premiums just to help cover the cost of insurance fraud, according to the FBI. And we looked this up. There are two types of fraud, especially when you talk about auto insurance fraud. There's hard fraud and there's soft fraud. Hard fraud is what you think. When you deliberately cause property damage or you fake a wreck in order to pocket the insurance money.
Right.
You fake a wreck, okay?
You just completely lie about the wreck happening overall.
Soft fraud is much more common and can involve actual damage that you then exaggerate. Oh, my neck. To get a bigger payout.
So this appears to be a soft fraud case.
With the Royals player.
Allegedly. Yes. So according to everything I can find, and the fact that there are no additional details in any of the stories reporting this really bothers me, but I did find a Sports Illustrated story about it that breaks it down. From what I have read, it seems that the wreck actually did happen. They did actually collide at some point on a roadway in the state of Florida. However, they then claim to have all of these different injuries requiring physical therapy, a massage therapist, things like that to work out the kinks from the injuries from the wreck. They then billed the insurance company for that physical therapy, pocketing the money.
Got it.
Because they never sustained any
like,
injuries.
Oops, my neck. But here's my question. Don't you have to have a doctor sign off on that? I remember someone in my family was in a car wreck several years ago. And there were multiple doctors involved in that. X-rays had to be taken. You can't just go, I think I need physical therapy. My neck hurts. And maybe they, this will come out later, maybe they found someone who was willing to suggest that the injuries were worse than they were. Do we know if the four people knew each other? They had to have known. They're all four charged. They had to have known each other.
It does not specifically state that. It doesn't even say if they were in the same vehicle or different vehicles. The lack of information in this story is incredibly frustrating
but
to me.
You keep in mind, Sam, it was 2 years ago, which again, I ask, when something like this happens, how does it take so long for all of this to come out in the wash? Why would you not have known much more quickly that this was fraudulent? And by the way, this is always a felony. When people stage the car accident, there are four different ways people do this. When an oncoming driver hits you on purpose after waving you through a left turn, like, go ahead, buddy, go ahead. You know, when you do the little courtesy wave?
Yeah.
Go ahead. And then they hit you on purpose. If someone intentionally hits the back of your car as you make a right turn into their lane, when you pull into traffic from a curb and someone swerves on purpose to hit your side, or here's the one that we've seen locally, someone driving in front of you slams on their brakes to make sure you hit the rear of the car. And then it's, ooh, my neck, ooh, my neck. But they face 10 years in prison, and the insurance company was billed more than $61,000. I find it very hard to believe that the $61,000 is just medical. That has to be the cost.
$61,000 from the two clinics that they went to for their injuries, and an additional $22,800 for physical therapy.
There it is, for physical therapy.
Oh, and this says, I'm reading directly now from the press press release from the county in Florida, from Miami, that says that the accident never happened as reported. It still doesn't tell me whether or not there was a crash or
but
not.
But then, Sam, that says to me it was not.
So they just it was hard fraud.
But that makes sense that there were four of them, and if two of them in one car knew two of them in another car, that is starting to make sense. He was apparently a shortstop, by the way, as well. We'd like to hear from you. If you've been in a wreck that was a legitimate wreck to you, but was not legitimate to the other party. Like, you believe they either hit you on purpose or they slammed on their brakes in front of you. How do you prove that that is insurance fraud? How, and if you're an insurance investigator, we would love to hear from you at 913-586-7798, because the statistics on this are enormous when it comes to the number of losses. They're actually saying, and I've looked at several sites on this, the insurance industry lost around $306 billion due to fraud in 2022, and it is estimated between 10 and 20% of all claims are fraud.
Well, and how do you prove that you actually sustained damages from the wreck and need that payout from the insurance company?
That's what I'm saying. When and I thank God have not had, you know, 10 car wrecks in my life to be able to figure this out, but someone very close to me was in a wreck, and there were multiple doctors and hospitals involved in that. And in fact, when you go to fill out your hospital paperwork, let's say you even go to urgent care and you're there for a back injury or a neck injury, or in my daughter's case, it was a concussion because her head hit the steering wheel. They want to know right then and there when you fill out the very initial paperwork at the front desk, it will say, is this auto accident related? Because that then changes the funnel through which your billing is handled. It just does. And I remember a year after my daughter's car wreck, where someone just smashed right into the side of her on 135th Street, ran a red light, smashed right into her. A year later, we were still getting bills and still forwarding those bills to the person responsible and their insurance company. 913-586-7798. Let's go to Patrick in Lawrence. Hi, Patrick.
Hi.
Hi.
I'll tell you what. Here a few years ago, and I do love you guys' show.
Oh, thank
here
you.
A few years ago, I was working for a company here in Lawrence, and I drive heavy equipment, heavy dump trucks and dumps. And I was coming down 23rd Street, and a gentleman in front of me driving an old Dodge van with expired tags and everything decided to just come to a complete stop and make a right-hand turn and never even use his blinker. And I locked him up, and I left over a 30-foot skid mark with my dump truck. Needless to say, I helped him with his right-hand turn, whether I wanted to or not.
Oh, I bet.
He came out, and he says, whew, it's a good thing I got hit in the rear because I don't feel no pain or anything. And I'm like, what were you doing? He goes, well,
right.
I said, you didn't even indicate a right-hand turn signal or anything. Well, I lost my job. Now, the funny part is that he got all the tickets. I got zero tickets.
What do you mean? You lost your job because he caused that wreck?
Yeah, because I'm a CDL Class A driver.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
And well, the insurance company calls me up about a month later to ask me what happened. And I told them what happened. I said, it's all right there in the police report. He admitted that he made a left-hand or right-hand turn without using his blinker. And the insurance agent goes, well, you don't have to use your right-hand blinker to make a turn. And I'm like, I'm sorry, can you run that by me one more time?
Yeah, I was not aware of that.
You are not required to use your blinker to indicate you're going to make a turn. And I'm like, according to any handbook I've read, you are.
Patrick, I'm so sorry to hear that you lost your job over that. So sorry. Let's go to Jacob in Platte City. Hey, Jacob, go ahead.
Well, hey, Dana. So I'm going to keep it on the subject of big trucks. This is why it is so, so important to have dash cams in commercial vehicles.
Bingo.
Because commercial vehicles are required to carry a minimum of $1 million liability policy. And even when I'm driving a big truck, when I see vehicles around me that have damage to them, I get nervous.
Sure.
And because I've seen it happen before. It's happened to a few people I know where a car that had prior damage hit them with the intention of trying to get it fixed or caused them to hit them. And it's very well known that people will try to commit insurance fraud with a commercial vehicle.
Because the limits are higher. The limits are higher.
The limits are higher, and you got these greedy damn lawyers with they're all over the turnpike. Been in a truck accident? We'll sue them.
Yeah, I never thought about that, Jacob, but I want to go back to something you said about the dash camera. Yes, it will record from certain angles exactly what happened, but you're not necessarily going to know the intent of the person that is hitting you. It might show the physical damage, which is great in any case. It's not going to prove intent, whether someone did this on purpose.
Right. Well, I mean, if you rear-end a vehicle and they claim, oh, he hit me from behind, when clearly they swooped in and slammed on their brake. I've seen it so many times where they just swoop in, come off of a ramp. These people, they come off of ramps, and they just plow right into the side of trucks. And then when they get out, they say, oh, he hit me. And you pull up the video. No, you clearly came over here and slammed on your brakes, lady.
Jacob, thank you for the call. And I'm curious how many commercial drivers have those cameras in their trucks. My car comes with a ton of cameras, and it also starts recording when I honk. Any honk,
really?
Any honk, any sudden stop, anything like that, certainly a collision, it back times, you know, whatever it is, 45 seconds or something.
I need to get a dash cam because of the number of times that I have been cut off, but
it's they're nothing now on Amazon, Sam. You get one for probably $25 on Amazon.
I need to do it.
I would do it. 913-586-7798. We'll keep our eye on the case and let you know what ends up happening with our former Royals player.
Hopefully we eventually get some actual details out of it.
Yeah, I know, but my God.
Super odd.
This goes back to our conversation yesterday with just the financial arm of professional sports. And once you are done as a professional athlete, how many of them seem to get in deep water financially?
Oh, yeah, because they spend it like it's hot. Like they can't hold on to it. And then, of course, you know, that day comes when they're not making the millions anymore.
913-586-7798. We'll get to Caitlin Clark later, by the way, tell you how much money she's going to make. First overall number one draft pick as expected. 913-586-7798. Back with much more straight ahead. You're listening to Dana and Parks. It's such a good song.
You're just letting it play, huh?
Thank you for that. Can you hear the wind outside?
Oh,
what in the Sam Hill is going on?
Insane. There's a guy riding his bike right now. What are you doing, man?
That is a low-profile vehicle, sir.
I mean, the American flag next door is fully extended right now.
We have learned more about the two injured after an EF1. They are now confirming this is an EF1. That touched down this morning. I'm so sorry, Sam. What's the name of that town again?
Overbrook, Kansas.
And we know now more about exactly what happened. So the National Weather Service announced on social that it was an EF1 that touched down just after 6 a.m., 4 miles west-southwest of Overbrook. It moved north-northeast for 10 miles, hitting the town of Richland, and did reach wind speeds up to 100 miles an hour. It was only a few minutes, but two people were reportedly injured in the tornado when the RV that they were in flipped in Osage County.
Primarily farmland out there.
Yeah, but I'm telling, like, this happened around, and 27 News out of Topeka sent a reporter there. Yep, that's a flipped RV. They are very, very lucky. And I don't know if that's one of those things where they went into the RV thinking that would be a better space. You know, at 6:30 in the morning, I find it hard to believe they'd be roaming around in an RV at 6:30 in the morning. This is farmland out there.
What is the suggested practice if you don't have true shelter, like a basement?
Oh, man.
Find a ditch somewhere low.
Yes, low-lying area.
Put a mattress over yourself
but
and pray?
The RV, Sam, is like the worst. I mean, it just...
Well, yeah, because once that wind gets up underneath it, it's flipping.
Flimsy, and it will lift it and flip. So that's the update on that. And then did you hear at KCI a plane was forced to turn around overnight and make an emergency landing after it was struck by lightning? I was talking to Chris about this morning. Do you feel it when lightning hits a plane? I was asking him. An American Airlines flight departing from Kansas City had to turn around and make an emergency landing this morning after it was struck by lightning. It was an American Airlines flight 3661. It was taking off from here at 5:36 a.m., trying to get to O'Hare in Chicago. While in the air, the Embraer 170, shared with Envoy Air, was struck by lightning. Pilots immediately turned the plane back around. It made a safe emergency landing. 42 people were on board. No injuries were reported. It does not appear as if the plane was damaged by the lightning strike. In fact, it was scheduled to take off from KCI again, bound for its original destination at 8 a.m.
Look, wow.
I don't know about you. I would not want to get back on that plane.
Just look the other way. It hasn't been struck by
lightning.
By the way,
I would not want to get back on that plane.
If a plane does get struck by lightning, the folks inside will see a bright flash and hear a loud bang. There might be temporary flickering of the lights and a brief instrument interference for the pilots. But outside of that, it says that you should not be really affected.
It says while the electricity is discharged through lightning, it can create explosion sounds, but there's no need to worry. The aircraft are engineered with similar types of equipment like lightning conductors.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to worry.
That's why it's impossible for you to get harmed by lightning. I'm going to ask about me. I'm asking about the plane. There's video of another one a few weeks ago showing an aircraft being struck, and that was over Vancouver. That was a Boeing 777, again, just after takeoff.
Oh, by the way, from the text line, going back to the flipped RV and the two injured in Overbrook, Kansas. I live in an RV park. We have a community tornado shelter that
we go to
during severe weather.
Good. Path length this morning was 9.8 miles. Maximum width, 75 yards. Two injuries, zero deaths. There's some uprooted trees, that kind of thing. But we even saw that in Lenexa. There's a huge tree down in Lenexa that somebody just posted on
with these high winds, those old trees will
Twitter.
Topple over.
A chaser confirmed a touchdown in Shawnee County for a few minutes. That was this morning. Currently, no tornado threat.
Some damage up by Smithville. There was...
Yeah, we are still under a tornado watch. And if you're listening on podcast, this is like right before 4 p.m. on Tuesday. We are still under a tornado watch. It looks for Lafayette County until 6 o'clock tonight. And we'll get with Busby and make sure there's nothing more that you guys need to know about that. But today was a weather aware day. 913-586-7798. When we get back, how are you most likely to die if you are a career firefighter?
Ooh.
If you think it's running into a burning building, you would be wrong. And there is a fight now to prevent firefighter deaths for this cause. We're going to talk about it straight ahead on Dana and Parks. Stick with us.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.